Hi, I'm Beth.
And I'm Leslie.
Welcome to Quince.
A little sweet.
A little tart.
And a little unexpected.
Today is Wednesday, April 12th, 2023.
And the first day of spring, sort of, for us.
It's a beautiful one.
Yeah. And I guess the little unexpected is the fact that we're here. Because it's been a long time.
Oh, it's been too long. But what can we say?
Well, life.
Life.
Yeah.
Very busy.
Yeah, things got complicated for both of us, really. Different illnesses on both that we're both kind of responsible for. And we've been well, but except for the time of COVID.
Right.
Around Christmas.
Yes. I know. To have made it all that long and then to have gotten it at the tail end at Christmas and New Year's.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, you are one of the few people that never got it.
It finally blazed through our church.
Yes.
But fortunately and thankfully, everybody's okay. Yeah, so some people had a struggle, but everybody's okay.
It's interesting reading Facebook memories from 2020.
Yeah.
And at this point in time, we were still wondering, you know, would we be going back to work at the end of April, or was it in May, and should we make plans? And, of course, it ended up being a whole year and a half.
I closed your shop. And then for about 2 months.
Yes.
And then they said we could open back up with masks. And it was really hard to do because we were on such a roll. You know, things were, and I sat here behind locked doors and watched people flood this town.
I know, but it was very admirable of you because your main concern was your father.
Well, yeah, and with my employees, you know, and who they might expose, because all of us have somebody elderly that we're or compromised that we're taking care of. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was a tough call.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I think it was a wise call.
Yeah, because Dad finally did get it. I don't know if we've recorded since my major life change. Dad got really not well last April. It's been about a year now. And things just kept getting worse and worse. And we'd get him out of one thing and he'd fall in another one and back and forth. And finally, he just got so sick around September that he wound up in the hospital. And now he's very happy in the nursing home in Stuart.
He is happy, isn't he?
Yeah, he just holds court and he's got buddies coming by. And so they take excellent care of him down there. Really impressed with the care he's getting. Yeah. So anyway, that all happened through all this, and that kind of stopped me from doing much of anything because we had this treatment. I would leave home at 7 a.m. I didn't get back home till 8:30.
Yes. Yeah.
So that pretty much stalled us.
That was
on a lot of things.
Rough patch.
Yeah. So, but he's happy, and I'm relieved that he's happy, and we're going from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've become a very busy person in our church, and as well as the store.
Well,
and
the shop we got, different things going on. Yeah, for sure. And we went to the coldest sunrise service, I think, ever in existence.
And that was, when she says we, that was Leslie and me.
Yeah, we went down to Bluemont, which is a lovely church. We go to Mayberry, and one of the rock churches that we've talked about before, I'm sure, founded by Bob Childress. And Bluemont was another. So we went down to our sister church in Bluemont at 6:15.
Yes.
And it was 27 degrees. And but we saw a lovely service and a lovely sunrise with some lovely people.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I'm so glad we went.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I went down to stay and spend some time with Dad on Easter. And then you went back to the regular service.
I went to Mayberry's Easter service, and it was lovely.
Yep.
And we had a gathering afterwards, so I got to eat twice.
Oh, right.
At Bluemont and Mayberry.
Good. Yeah. It was very, very pleasant. For sure. Mm-hmm. And let's see what else has been going on in the last however many long. We had the big Easter hunt, Easter egg hunt. I think we talked about that last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we filled, that was so much fun, filling those 403
eggs. 403
right? eggs.
We had a great crew that came and filled them. Then we had another great fun crew that came out and hid them in the cold, shivering with all our coats and hats and gloves on. And then 10 minutes later, or after, 10 minutes after the hunt started, all the eggs were gone.
there were a lot of kids.
There were a lot of kids. There were 2,500 eggs in this town.
Wow.
And I found one that they missed on our patch. And then you were telling me Timmy found one that they missed on his up at the Concord store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... But we had a blast, and we really appreciate the Primitive Coffee people for thinking it up and managing it every year. They do a great job. Yeah, and next year, she'll have a little baby.
Oh.
To have in her Easter egg hunt.
Life goes on.
Life does try to make some changes.
Yes.
For sure.
Well, it's nice having all these young people around.
Oh, it is. Yeah, we've got... My cousin Dane is moving here around Memorial Day with his significant lady. And then she's a little younger than me. Another friend is moving back home to stay with her mother. Her mother's in good condition and doing fine, but they just kind of feel like it's time to readjust life.
We're good.
And so so she's been coming to our stitching group, and that's been fun. We're losing our young Potter. She's going to back to New Jersey, and she's going to do graduate work to become a art restoration expert.
Excellent.
We know some cool people.
We do. I mean, Little Meadows of Dan, and yep. There are just so many cool people.
Very cool people. Yeah. Mm. So, all right. What else have we got? I don't have anything arranged for knitting. I forgot about that. We do knitting. And
well, I can tell you, since I work in this store, I had the nicest young woman from New Zealand in here the other day. And she had all kinds of questions about alpaca yarn, which, of course, I really couldn't answer.
Well, you should have called me.
But, well, you were out, I think.
Oh, okay. Running. That was one of the times I was moving. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I think I offered, and she was like, oh, no, that's okay. I'll get this other yarn.
Okay.
And she is a sock expert.
Socks?
And socks. Makes her socks and makes lace to go around the top of her socks. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes. But that was my experience with.
Yeah, well, she probably wouldn't want pure alpaca to make socks.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't, well, and there are some ways you can kind of get around it, but it doesn't hold up quite as well. But we do have a alpaca blend sock yarn up there on that top shelf.
And that might have been what she bought.
May have been. Yeah, she did.
Yes.
Yeah, because I saw the sale.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
It was that company.
Yeah. Unplanned Peacock. She does beautiful, well, she did beautiful work. She's become a Airbnb expert now, and but she does beautiful dye work,
mm-hmm.
and she produces some gorgeous yarns.
Yes.
So.
Well, this young couple with their mother-in-law had driven up from Tennessee and had joined with the Parkway. I'm not sure how far down in North Carolina, and had come up just as far as Meadows of Dan.
Oh.
She said, "Now we're turning around."
Oh.
I said, "Well, you may want to go 1 mile further to Mabry
Mill,
since it's one of the most famous spots on the Parkway."
Exactly. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's funny because about 2 days ahead of time, or 2 days earlier, I had a lovely couple from New Zealand. And she was interested in yarn. And this happened. I came in after she had talked to Kristen for quite a while about alpaca. And she bought a bunch of Angora rabbit hair yarn to make a shawl that she showed me the pattern for, and it's going to be gorgeous. I hope she sends me a picture.
Oh, yes.
I gave her my card.
Well, isn't that interesting that New Zealand people are traveling?
Two days apart.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and also Yarny people.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yes.
But I think they have a lot of sheep in New Zealand.
Well,
so.
That's true.
Yeah.
So didn't Kathleen and Peter bring you back yarn
they
from
me
New Zealand?
They brought yarn from
possum,
New Zealand.
That's
I made
right.
A pair of, I made a hat that I wore a hole in. I think it's because I hung it on that hook with the coat over the top of it. And then I made a pair of fingerless mitts that were just wonderful.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So their possums are different than our possums.
Their possums are different. Yes. Their possums are actually a vermin.
Oh.
And the possum does not survive the collection of yarn. Sorry. Or the fiber. Unfortunately.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, well, that's sad.
Yeah, it is kind of sad.
Oh.
But apparently they're an invasive species. Yeah, I may have that wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, most animals that we work with do survive the collection of the fiber, sheep and alpaca and even muskox and I think everything does.
Mm-hmm.
Cats.
Yes.
I spun up Peter's cat's hair.
Oh, I heard that you had done that, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, I need to ply it, but it did turn out really pretty. I'm going to make him a hat.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Out of which cat?
It was Spindle.
Well.
Yeah, she's got that head. She's got that long fur.
Yes.
But it turned out really pretty.
see, we can talk knitting.
We can talk about
people.
Anything. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's our yarn thing. I don't have any new yarns. I do have some new yarns coming. I think there's some bulky alpaca and some Noro. I want to dip my toes into the Noro pool. Because it's absolutely wonderful, beautiful yarn. It's a little bit pricier than the other yarns that I carry, but you get a lot of yardage in a skein. So I don't think it's a mistake. We'll find out.
So, well, that's good. And let's see. We usually talk a book segment. We have read some great books.
Oh,
you
yeah.
led our book group last month.
Oh, on Angela Thurkel. I'm sure nobody knows Angela Thurkel.
Well, except that she's been reprinted.
Yeah, she's been reprinted. My cousin Regine, many years ago, had this tattered copy of a book called Wild Strawberries by Angela Thurkel. And I fell in love with them. And so when I went to England, I searched out those books because they weren't anywhere in America. They just weren't. So I shipped back hard copies at great expense of all the Angela Thurkels I could find. And you know, I found several. And so they're in the old house somewhere. And but now they have been reprinted. So we did High Rising. It's the first one. It's not the best one. I think Wild Strawberries is funnier. But I thought we ought to start with the first one. But we had a really great discussion.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Everybody was fun. Yes.
And this month, coming up next week, will be our third Monday.
Third Monday, yeah.
Book club. And we're reading West with Giraffes by Linda Rutledge. Mm-hmm. And that is just delightful.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got some good titles coming
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that seems to be, and in the meantime, I'm reading old paperbacks of Agatha Christie's,
because
I can throw them in my purse and
carry them around and not worry about it. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm reading, and I can't remember the name of the fellow, it's called Reign of Terror, and it's about the politics leading up, and I know this sounds like a real educated and stuff, but it's not. It's politics leading up to the things that happened in Hungary during World War II.
Oh.
And, of course, it was Kathleen brought it. I don't know if she had read it or if she had. It was just one of the books that was around. And it's been really interesting. It's about this fellow that worked for the Swiss Red Cross. and all his trials and tribulations trying to help not only the Jews that were being persecuted, but the more economically challenged Hungarians were having a lot of difficulty.
And of course, that's right by Transylvania, La Gypsies.
And Budapest. They were in Budapest, and of course, that was the being a city. They were trying to get food in from other areas, and so the challenges that he dealt with. It was pretty interesting. Of course, kind of knowing some of the people not knowing some of the people, but knowing people that experienced some of that was interesting.
Yes. Yeah. Well, World War II, I mean, there's so many facets about studying it.
We've read a number of books about World War II,
Well, it was interesting at the sunrise service while we were sitting there shivering, that our minister, Jeff, he talked about On the Beach, the Neville Shute book and movie. He had just watched, and, you know, of course, I had read that years and years ago, but that, of course, is nuclear war and how it was creeping down, and, of course, he related that to Good Friday and Easter and did a good job of tying it together.
I don't think I'd ever seen the movie. But I remember reading the book when I was probably late teens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that was, the duck and cover was a real concern in the 50s.
Absolutely. And that was 1958, I believe, 57, that the book came out. Yeah. And yes.
So, we always hear. I'm pretty sure there was a fallout shelter in the elementary school basement. There was a sign.
Uh-huh. We all recognize those signs.
Yeah, and we always, our concern was Oak Ridge, if something
in
happened.
In Tennessee, Knoxville.
The way the wind flows.
Yeah.
You know, because it generally flows this way.
Uh-huh, you're right. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Because Oak Ridge was quite the spot.
Yeah, at the time.
Yes. Yeah. As you know, it's still.
Yeah,
still
is. So that was the reason, you know, if something happened there, that they thought. So, anyhow. We've covered books, we've covered knitting. We need to talk about Mayberry Trading Post.
Yes.
That's the big news of the season. Mayberry Trading Post, which is just down the road from our little Mayberry church. It's been in existence since the late 1800s as a country store. And it's opened under new management that are descendants of the original people that opened it the first time. Way, way back. And I think it's 1892. Yeah, 1892.
Yes.
And so we're excited. They're doing a great job. They did some remodeling.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, they did some remodeling, and it really looks really nice. That's what I meant to do.
It is bright.
Yeah, she's got some light in there.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love the room at the back where she has kept all the history.
The history,
yes.
Yeah, I was going around taking pictures of her picture that I didn't have because I knew all those people.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Addie and Coy Yates and Coy Lee Yates and Dale Yates and all of those folks back in the day. When we were little kids, that was part of our routine. Grandpa drove a school bus. And after he got out of, you know, after he parked the bus, he'd get me and my brother in the car, and we'd drive around and visit all his old buddies. And one of the places we stopped was at Mayberry Trading Post. And we'd get a soda or an ice cream or something. And the little creek that goes behind the store, and I'm too old. I went to look to see. There used to be a little round bowl in the rock that they called the Indian Spring, where the creek started. There was a little free-running spring. I said, we'd love to. Let's get we went in and got a soda, but we went inside out and got a rhododendron leaf and made a cup, and we'll drink from that spring.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Does anybody know if it's still there?
Well, when I was over there for the grand opening, I went around and looked down, and I thought, I'm too old to go down. So I'm going to have to see if Pam can get somebody younger to look and see if it's... I forgot about it when I was there the other day. But yeah, but they called it the Indian Spring. Now, I don't know why, but that's what they all called it.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah, but we used to have a lot of fun down there. Of course, we'd play in the creek, and it was... but I'm really excited for them to get that started.
Yes.
Yeah. The more we have here, the better.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, what else news do we have that we can think of? Don't know. Okay, do you want to go into our main subject?
I think it's probably about time if we want to.
Well, when we have a women's Bible study at Mayberry, and Beth led on Mary Magdalene, or Mary Magdalene, last time, and we had some really good discussion. She brought up some interesting points, but she didn't get ridden out of town on a rail.
I know. I thought I might.
There are some traditions about Mary Magdalene that Mary Magdalene, is it Mary Magdalene or Mary Magdalene?
However I think you want to say it. Some people say St. Maria Magdalena.
I think I got Magdalene from... I don't know. I think that's what we said here when I was a kid.
Mary Magdalene. That's what we always said.
So, lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
About me getting run out of town.
Oh, yeah, run out of town on a rail. So, because there are some traditions that are old that kind of indicate some different things about Mary.
Absolutely.
Than just the conventional.
Well, can I read the first paragraph that is in an article that came out in Smithsonian Magazine back in 2006, Who Was Mary Magdalene? And just this first paragraph sort of sums up the conundrum of that. The whole history of Western civilization is epitomized in the cult of Mary Magdalene. For many centuries, the most obsessively revered of saints, this woman became the embodiment of Christian devotion, which was defined as repentance. Yet she was only elusively identified in Scripture, and has thus served as a scrim onto which a succession of fantasies has been projected. In one age after another, her image was reinvented from prostitute to sibyl to mystic to celibate nun to passive helpmeet to feminist icon, to the matriarch of divinity's secret dynasty. How the past is remembered, how sexual desire is domesticated, how men and women negotiate their separate impulses, how power inevitably seeks sanctification, how tradition becomes authoritative, how revolutions are co-opted, how fallibility is reckoned with, and how sweet devotion can be made to serve violent domination. All these cultural questions help shape the story of the woman who befriended Jesus of Nazareth. And by golly, I mean, that's the best article. We'll leave,
send the link. And that is a really good summing up.
Isn't it?
Of all the tendrils of tradition and...
Yes, because the basic, you know, the scriptures, which she's found in, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John mm-hmm. mentioned, basically that she was one of the followers of Jesus along with the disciples, and there were, you know, a number of women, but when mm-hmm. they would list three or four, Mary was always listed first, mm-hmm. and so... You know, tradition would say she probably was a woman of means, had some money, and that she probably was not married or was widowed, you know, didn't have family responsibilities. And so she was able to be there with Jesus and with all the disciples and travel from place to place. And that is basically what we know about that role. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the scripture shows how she went to the tomb. She was the first one that saw the risen Christ, and she went back, you know, he is alive, he is risen. And so she basically preached the first sermon of saying Jesus is alive, you mm-hmm. know, he's... And so that's what we know.
Yeah.
And then in the sixth century, there was Pope Gregory that basically took a story in the Bible that was before the first mention of Mary Magdalene about the woman who was a prostitute, apparently, and who used the oil to pour on Jesus' feet and then used her hair to wipe it off, and mm-hmm. Which everyone agrees, all scholars, that that was not Mary Magdalene. But
it's not likely.
Not likely that it was. Because she was always mentioned by name every other place.
Exactly.
And this woman never had a name. But Pope Gregory put forth that it was her.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that point on, she was always the reformed prostitute. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you also had the Gnostic Gospels that came out. So you had the Book of Mary that was written early on, but was never discovered till the 1890s.
Right.
And that basically told more of the life of Mary and her friendship with Jesus that was very close.
Mm-hmm.
And some people then jumped on that. You have Jesus Christ Superstar,
right.
and where she was very much in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
Then you had the Da Vinci Code,
yeah.
the book and the movie that was so popular mm-hmm. a couple years ago, that portrayed them as being married and having a child.
Well, I was talking to my partner years ago, and I just casually mentioned that some of the disciples were married. Mm. And he was like, oh, no. You know, and there's this one scene where Peter's at his mother-in-law's house or at his house, and his mother-in-law is serving them. And, you know, and I'm not all that familiar with that culture, but I would think that the duty of a man in that time period would have been to marry. Now, I'm sure the rabbis and the teachers and the masters would have been slightly less likely to be married. But
I don't know. I think most of them were pretty married.
Yeah, this conversation with Ron finally, I said, well, you know, if you had 13 men in first century Jerusalem that weren't married, they're gay.
Yeah.
He just busted out laughing. That was the end of the conversation.
Well, and I think it goes on, you know, just with so much controversy, and people have turned it into almost, you know, a Mary Magdalene cult. I mean, you do have that to this day, and certainly as a saint, and the whole nun.
When we were talking about, you're talking about her being a woman of means, Jewish women in the first century really had it a lot better than their Roman counterparts.
Yes.
Because Jewish law required them to be taken care of.
Yes.
You know, and so they did inherit. They did run their husband's businesses. They did inherit his property if he died, which in first century Jerusalem, a lot of men died young. I mean, it just, it was, and women too, but it, even today we have more widows than men.
Right.
That are widowers.
Right.
Because it's just a fact of life that the life expectancy is slightly shorter for men. And so, but women, Jewish women were taken care of. So you can see where she would be able. Well, we talked about Martha and Mary in a previous lesson. And Martha was the head of household. It was her house that she invited Jesus in to. And I've always kind of equated that Mary with Mary Magdalene, even though I have no proof, because she sat at his feet and was a disciple.
Right. But see, I think that they mentioned both Marys at the same time.
Maybe.
At one point, because they say, they talk about Mary of Bethany and Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene.
So, who knows? You know, but I think they probably had similar personalities.
Yeah, so they were, but they were both disciples. And there were probably a lot of women. And then when they're talking about the women at the foot of the cross, and the men have fled.
That's right. Mary Magdalene stuck out.
She's right
there. Stuck with it right to the end.
The men had to flee, and there's a tradition that Lazarus had to flee because it was one of the Gospels uses his Lazarus' resurrection as a reason that the priests and Sadducees were upset, or one of the reasons. And so he had to, one of the traditions is that he had to flee because, so he couldn't be there.
Right.
And Bethany was only a mile from Jerusalem. So I'm sure Martha and that Mary were there.
Right.
Along with Mary Magdalene. And
yes,
Mary
and Mary the
mother. And Mary
the
mother of James, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and
yes, right, right.
There were a
James
lot
of, the Lesser or something.
Yeah,
it gets very
Marys.
Confusing.
Yeah, there were a lot of Marys in that time period, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
But I just thought it was fascinating. I think I really got in tune with Mary Magdalene back as a teenager when Jesus Christ Superstar came out.
I mean, I don't know how to love him.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the most beautiful song.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I remember our church youth group in West Virginia traveling from our hometown up to Morgantown, you know, where the university is, to the big Coliseum, and seeing Jesus Christ Superstar.
Cool.
And, you know, I would have been, 14, 15 16-year-old. And so at that point, I just always read and was interested in her.
Yeah.
And when our minister asked a few years ago in church, he said, who in the Bible would you want to have dinner with, spend an evening with, talking? And everybody, you know, is going around and saying, you know, Moses and, you know, all these. I'm like, Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, find out what it really meant.
Yes.
Yeah, we definitely, definitely Jesus Christ Superstar was a influence on our age group.
Yes.
Now, I didn't actually see it in theater or on, we just saw a movie when I was in my late teens, but I had listened to the soundtrack for years before that.
Oh, absolutely.
So I had all these people in my head, you know, and then when I finally saw the movie, I was kind of disappointed in the actors because I had the whole scenario. I had it all worked out, what was happening, because the soundtrack is just the songs, and there's not a lot of dialogue in between, even in the production.
Right.
It's a song after song after song, so you kind of go from place to place, and you know what's happening.
Yeah, well, and the play is like that also.
Yeah, and then how many years ago was it? About 4 or 5 years ago, they redid it with All Those Beautiful Men.
Yes, exactly. oh, it was on the tip of my tongue.
Legend,
that's right. Yeah, yes.
That was an amazing production. Yes. Yeah. And so I enjoyed that tremendously, too. But, I tell you.
Yeah, and that's not to say that it's theologically sound
but there's truth.
That's right.
There's truth and then there's truth. And there's another writer that kind of influenced me in my teens too. It was Taylor Caldwell.
Oh yeah.
Now I don't know if anybody reads her anymore or not, but
her paperback.
I have all of them. Uh-huh. And she wrote about Luke.
Yes.
She wrote about Paul. And then my favorite, oddly enough, my favorite book of them all was Judas.
I love that book.
And there's a lot about Mary Magdalene. And in there, it's kind of told by the point of view of a woman who is Mary Magdalene's mother. Am I remembering right?
I don't know. It's probably been 4 decades since I've read this book again.
There's a scene when Jesus is walking through the crowd and a woman touches his robe because she has an effusion, and she's cured. Her faith cures her. And Caldwell takes this woman and makes her Mary Magdalene's mother.
Wow.
But they've been estranged. And they never get back together. So there's this long of the book's not all that long, but there's this time period where this woman is kind of hovering around the edges, but she's seeing Mary with Jesus through this whole time period. And somewhere close to the end, she dies before Jesus. Something happens to her, and I can't remember what, but her vision of Mary is the important thing.
Wow.
Yeah, we need to read that again. And I may be totally off the wall making this up because it's probably been 20 years since I read it.
I think you're doing a great job.
Yeah, and I may be wrong. And it might not even be that title.
Well, and that reminded me about the 7 demons that Jesus got out of Mary Magdalene. Uh-huh. And, you know, of course, the book that we used this past year, 12 Extraordinary Women of the Bible, there were times I threw it at the wall. It was a little bit misogynist, this particular book. I don't think, and I was not the only one.
I noticed quite a number of people when they were leading it skirted the book, including me.
Right, went for other sources. But anyway, but it was interesting because when I was leading, I was very conscious of the fact that sitting next to me was a woman of great faith who is more of a holiness Pentecostal minister,
and who would understand the demons and the casting out.
Right. And so, you know, I didn't want to offend her at all.
I don't think you did.
And no, I don't think so. She's such a kind, loving soul. But because even though I realize there's evil in this world, and I do think that there is, And who knows, demonic spirits. I don't know. That's just not my, I don't go to that direction. Don't like to even talk about it, really. Though I'm very spiritual and believe, you know, in angels and what have you. But I've just always thought that those demons were afflictions.
Oh, yeah.
In my heart, that was, you know, and who knows whether they were mental or physical or, you know,
blind, deaf. Yeah, of course, Christ speaks to them.
Yes.
I don't know if it was in that particular circumstance where he spoke to her demons, but he did speak to...
Yes.
What to the affliction, but you can also consider, you know, a psychology speaking to a condition.
Right.
You know, considering we're in first century Jerusalem.
Yes.
So it's complicated. It's complicated.
It's very complicated. And I'm certainly no expert in that, but I just think there's several ways of looking at that.
And whatever affliction she had, you know, she got up and followed him.
That's right. She got cured and was very grateful.
Yeah, she got up and followed him. And
in fact, my word for this year, you know how we all have a word.
Yeah.
And the word that found me, because I had to look it up, because I didn't even know what it was munificent. And that is like utmost gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I think, wow, munificent speaks to Mary Magdalene's
absolutely
gratitude to Jesus.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, when they get into Acts and the other, books, is kind of disappointing not to see her there.
But then we can read the Book of Mary, the Gnostics. That's a whole nother subject.
I like the Elaine Pagels did the.
Yes,
I read that when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a little later, because they found them in the 80s. They found the Gnostic Gospels were
Different times, actually. Different times, but Mary was, that was 1890.
Mm-hmm. So, but the Elaine Pagels, I think, is the definitive Gnostic Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I have a book on the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's all wonderful and fascinating.
Yeah, there's some theory that John the Baptist may have been Gnostic. Mm-hmm. There's some theories about that because of some of the description of the way his life was.
Anything else?
Well, I think we've probably covered it pretty well. See if we get ridden out of town on a rail.
No, I bet some of you folks out there might like to join us in the conversation. We'd sure love it.
And do look up that Smithsonian. I'll put it on the show notes, that Smithsonian. And there's another, National Geographic did an excellent article on Jesus Christ.
It was, whole magazine
the
that
whole
month.
The whole magazine that month was, it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. I have that somewhere.
I do too, somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right. So our show notes can be found at www.quincepodcast.com, I think. It's been a long time. We also have a Facebook page where we post when we broadcast. And we're on iTunes, hopefully, still, unless they dropped us, and Stitcher Radio, and probably other places where you can listen to podcasting. And we will try to be back a little bit more often.
Let's do it, Leslie.
Let's do it. We made a public commitment to do this tonight on Facebook.
Yes.
You had referred to a
episode 14, yeah, The Walls.
The Walls, yeah. And I dug out that CD and listened to it all the way to Hillsville the other day.
Oh, good.
Yeah, when I was doing my Joy Ranch run. And some great tunes on there. So come back and see us again.
Okay, bye, everyone.